Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I remember the first few interactions I had with anything to do with investments. One, the first job I got, my dad said to me, you need to get an RA. Speak to the financial advisor and get an RA. At the time, yeah, I did it begrudgingly, but right now, it's certainly paying off. Coupled with that, not only did we follow up with an investment conversation, but being exposed to the world of finance through my work, a few colleagues had also told me, here, try an exchange-traded fund. Just open up this account and put some money away every month. And slowly but surely, you get to recognize the gains, but beyond that, you get to understand more of how these investments work, how your money is growing, and of course, the investment decisions and choices that we make. But I'm keen to hear your thoughts. As a young South African, what's your real-world experience of investing like? Have you got support, access to knowledge? Are you also out on social media learning as much as you can about the opportunities to invest in? Or is money too tight to mention? Right now, you're just trying to make sure that you survive. You don't even have enough to save. Never mind invest for the long term. Share your experience with us and what it will take to get you into a better financial position. 063-688-0959. We are waiting to take your voice notes.
Ekasinomics
on Kaya Biz.
To help us out with this conversation, we join now by Kwezi Jackson, 10X Investment Client Relationship Manager, who joins us on the line now to tell us more. Kwezi, I'm so excited to speak to you and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gugu. Excited to speak to you too. Thank you.
100%. You are a youth too, so I'll say we, the youth, very passionately and confidently so.
Indeed.
And I say this deliberately because a moment ago I reflected on the first, I guess, major conversations I had around investments. A family member and a colleague actually guided me to say, hey, these are the things you need to consider now that you're actually earning your own income. And I think that's also important for us just to discuss, you know, the level of financial literacy in South Africa and what the youth are saying about where they get that information, you know, how is it dispersed? And most importantly, what are they doing with it?
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's been sort of warnings here and there. I think there's a rise of online advisors who are saying we're not advisors, but they're giving information. And the regulators come out to say, you know, we need to be careful from whom we are taking this advice from. I think it still remains prudent to make sure when you are dealing with all things money and investment that you are talking to a approved financial services provider.
And that's very important. I'm so glad you underscore that because, yes, you know, the world of digital and social media has made it easier to access information, but don't get duped or be misled by someone who might be offering, you know, advice that they'd share with their friends at the braai, but it might not speak to your particular needs, which highlights the importance of speaking to an investment professional. And maybe this takes us to that conversation, right? Are we having the right financial conversations where it matters, with professionals like yourself, with financial planners, or do we still feel locked out of the system?
I think, when we talk about perhaps us, the youth, I think out there, there's that feeling of, you know, what if I don't get to 65? Sometimes when we speak to clients who are in our pension funds or provident fund schemes, and you're talking to them about this dream of retiring one day at 65, and then there's animosity towards putting this money away because, yeah, there's this like, me, I'm going to die before 60. I know it. It's hard to argue with someone on that level because, like, I mean, what evidence do I have that, you know, it's not going to happen? With that said, we remain encouraging people to, you know, continue to save, for retirement because, what if you do get to 65 and you do retire and the SASSA grant is definitely not enough to sustain one's needs.
100%. What's also so critical for us to bear in mind, as you say, is that, you know, we are saving for and investing for the long term. So that also speaks to the investment goals that we have. And for years on end, 10X has actually been very vocal about the very low retirement savings rate that we have in South Africa. Talk to us about where that figure sits now and what the harsh reality is for South Africans who fail to or are unable, rather, to save adequately for retirement.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's... there's various retirement funds in South Africa. I think it's quite a big market. But with that said, most companies do have a provident fund or a pension fund. And I think as an individual, if you work for a company where there's no pension fund or provident fund, the government then sets up a or says you're allowed to contribute to a retirement annuity, which basically, from a tax perspective, looks exactly the same as a provident fund. It's just that you're an individual dealing with FSP, not through a company. And so I guess whoever you are, whatever walk of life you are, there's access now, to save for retirement. But then I guess then the sad reality is that only 6% of South Africans can actually afford to retire, because I think we sometimes just put this money away and we don't know why we're putting this money away. We're going to get to age 60, 65, whatever that retirement age is for you or your company. And what we're trying to achieve here is to replace the income that you earned while you were still working through your provident fund, through your pension fund, through your retirement annuity. And if we don't get to that goal, so I think sometimes there's a disconnect between why we're putting this money in and what's the outcome. And so we're not starting with the outcome in mind. And I think that's where we get lost, and people get comfortable in the fact that my company has a provident fund. It doesn't just only stop at having the provident fund. You need to then go further and ask, is this provident fund, the contributions I'm making, are they actually going to replace the income once I get to 65 and I'm retiring?
And that's replacing 75% of your income, right?
Yeah, 60 to 75%. Anything above 60 is a good, I think it is a good outcome. But I think people living longer, with our expenses sort of going through the roof, I think 75% plus is probably the more safer route.
Got you. You mentioned something so important, right? We don't follow up with the funds that we might be invested in. Maybe we also just lack the understanding and the knowledge. But another harsh reality that we need to focus on, Kwezi, is the fact that our pockets are tight. Day after day, we speak to many South Africans who just say that there isn't more enough money. They're relying on debt, paying off loans. They're trying to hustle and have a second job. But either there aren't enough hours in the day or there isn't enough income that's coming into their accounts to actually manage the long-term investments. What are your thoughts on that? And are you seeing that being reflected in your research and the numbers?
Yeah, it's a rough one. I think it's also a story that you hear when you go talk to members of a provident fund. And one of the things that we talk about is, if you're not going to be able to replace that 75%, if the calculator we're giving you is saying you're only going to be able to replace, let's say, 50%, then you need to do additional voluntary contributions. And that's where that conversation then comes in. Because on my side, as 10X, who cares about you at 65, I'm only thinking, this is what you need to do. These are the one, two, threes. And you're telling me your lived story of, actually, if I put in even an extra 100 rand, it would kill my budget, as it is. And it's a hard one. I don't have the solutions. I think, it speaks to economic growth. I think it's only when the country is prosperous that I think people will then return to, I think, seeing in or putting investments as a priority. I think when times are tough and you're looking to save some money or to redirect budgets, I think investments might sometimes be one of those places where you say, I'll catch up. But it's hard to catch up. I think the only thing I can say is put your head down and try whatever you may to just keep on track, because I think as much as you're trying to ensure that you're living for today, I think it's going to be much more painful to live beyond 65 and not being able to, I don't know, cover your basic necessities.
You're so right. Right? We all want to be forever young, but the reality is that we won't be. So I'm keen to understand. We commented on, us the youth, we the youth. I'm keen to understand, when you take a look at some data or some insights, what is the practicality of our investment journey? We know how to prioritize brunches and luncheons and holidays, but are we also still prioritizing the necessity to invest?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess then for the we the youth, we should be doing 15% of our salaries, so total earnings, to a retirement fund. Again, be it your retirement annuity, be it your employer's provident fund. And that's then across that for 40 years of working. So it's when you get that first job, it's starting immediately and not saying, I'll start when I'm 35 or when I'm 40. It's making sure that you start as soon as possible, because if you do that, I think you ensure that, the compound interest works in your favor, in that, you know, later in life, as life gets more expensive, I'm thinking medical aids, kids, and all of that, you know, you can then sort of pull back. But if you sort of go hard at it now, while you're in your 20s and your 30s, it sort of buys you that freedom later. But then if you sort of flip it the other way around, if you leave it now and only start in your 40s, you know, the hard day becomes to catch up. And so attack it now while perhaps, yes, I know life is tough, but I think we have less expenses today versus the expenses we're going to have probably 10, 15 years from now on.
100%. You mentioned something so important is that perhaps when you start and delay it a lot later in your 40s, then it's a little bit harder to catch up. We don't want to discourage anyone because the truth is the sooner you start, the better. But what, I can't say advice, but what recommendations or suggestions or what's the starting plan for someone who might be in their mid-40s, even 50s, and realizes, ooh, this retirement age is creeping up on me now. Where should they start and how can they prepare?
Yeah, so on our side at 10X, I think we've created a retirement calculator. If you go on our website and, you know, we've got a section about retirement planning, you know, sort of a self-service station. If I can go in there and, you know, just click retirement planning calculator. And I think the first point is taking stock of where are we today. And so that calculator is asking you, how old are you? What is your income? You know, and how much are you looking to contribute towards this this fund? And once I've done that, it then pops out a goal for me that's saying, Kwezi, based on your age, salary, this is actually how much you will need at retirement. This is the income you can expect. And so once I've got that, and it tells me basically also the difference between, you know, what I will get to versus what is my goal. And if there is a shortfall, and for 94% of South Africans, there's going to be a shortfall. And I think it's once I know that there's going to be a shortfall that I can start to meaningfully address the shortfall by then asking myself, where in my budget can I squeeze out more money to ensure that I'm able to address that shortfall? But I think it's not, I can't just say, you know, to start with 5,000 rand and you'll be fine. Yeah. It's different for each and every individual. And I think the best place to start is that retirement calculator.
100%. I'm on it right now. And you're quite right. The numbers are quite, you know, easy to go through and just making sure that you do calculate an average to see the outcomes there. I am also keen, you know, just to talk about, you know, some of the incentives that are provided, not just from a company point of view, but government itself has actually provided tax incentives for South Africans to keep their retirement savings in. We'll talk about Two-Pot in just a moment, but maybe let's talk about the tax benefits that are associated with a retirement annuity and how, whether you're 25, 45, 55, truth is you can all get some benefits from this.
Yeah, no, that's true. So from a tax perspective, perhaps the simplest way I can put it is if I have a 10,000 rand salary per month and I actually don't put any money towards any retirement fund in South Africa, then SARS taxes me on that 10,000 rand that I'm earning. However, if I decide that I'm going to then contribute, let's say, 1,000 rand to a retirement fund, then effectively what SARS then says is that, you know, Kwezi earns 10,000 rand. We need to minus 1,000 rand from that, which he puts into a retirement fund, be it a provident fund or a retirement annuity. And therefore, we can only charge him tax on 9,000 rand. And so by putting money away, we're actually decreasing the amount of tax that we are then, you know, paying over to SARS. And in this day and age, I think any money that we can keep in our pockets instead of SARS is very much welcomed.
100%. I agree with you on that one. Let's not ignore Two-Pot because the reality is that billions have been withdrawn from these funds. 43 billion, if I'm not mistaken, according to SARS in the last figures that they shared. Help us contextualize this, especially for someone who does feel like they're determined, they're disciplined, but they just find themselves going through a bit of a dip. You know, how they need to rationalize and process the thinking of whether or not they should access their Two-Pot.
Yeah, I think the problem that brought us to Two-Pot, I think we have to be honest, is the fact that people were leaving their jobs because the only way they could access money in their provident funds or pension funds was through leaving the job, be it, you know, a resignation, if it is my choice. And so we have Two-Pot to then stop that. And I guess the next challenge now is, I think we need to stop making the savings pot our emergency fund. I think it starts with creating an emergency fund. And I think, you know, of the products that we have at 10X within our unit trust, we've got our money market fund, you know, where you can put away as little as 500 rand per month, and that is easily accessible to you. So you can sort of put it in, and if you need it next month, you can take it out, and no one's going to ask you any questions. You're not going to pay any tax. And so I think the best thing to do for yourself is starting that emergency fund. If it's not, you know, in the money market fund, it could be in the 10X income fund. But it's having a nest somewhere to protect you from yourself for taking money or from taking money from your savings pot. But I think if we continue to only have our retirement savings, so be it the retirement pot and the savings pot, then we are going to continue in the cycle of taking out money from our savings pot. I think the stats at the moment is 80 plus percent of the people that have taken money in this second, or I would say second tax or second tax year since two pots started, is people that also then withdrew money at their first opportunity that they had in the previous tax year. And so I think, yeah, we can't use the savings pot as our bank account or an emergency fund. It is, I think, for dire situation. Unfortunately, government did not give us any, I would say, guidelines in terms of what is those sort of financial difficulties that warrants us taking those funds. And so it's now up to anyone's interpretation to decide when they want those funds, and neither the fund or the employer can stop it. And so I think to help us against ourselves, I'm saying let's open up those money market funds, and you know, put away as little as 500 rand, so that when that emergency come, you know that I can perhaps start with the money market fund before I have to go to the savings pot.
100%. Kwezi, before I let you go, I am really taken by this conversation because, as we've discussed, you know, we the youth, and people might think, oh, nizenzangcono, you know, you guys think you're better because you're in the know. But I'm hoping that you can also reflect on your journey back in 2018, your first paycheck, and actually putting it into an RA. Because the truth is, we're not too young. You're never too rich or too poor. There are small allocations that you can definitely make towards your retirement and long-term investments that will stand you in good stead.
Yeah, I think you're taking me back a long time back, or not too long, but I think for me personally, I think the one thing I would like to say is even during my time at Varsity, I was lucky enough to have a scholarship that paid me, you know, a stipend, and I started engaging with investment then, and it wasn't much. Perhaps at some point it was like 100 rand per month that I was putting away. But I think education is what is important, in this journey. We started this conversation by saying do not take advice from anyone, but I think there's a lot of education that is available there, so that by the time that you're sitting with a financial advisor, you can have a much more guided conversation. So I would say take the education, and you know, I think the more education you're taking, you also start to see what is right and what is wrong, you know, for yourself. So I think for me in the beginning, of my journey of engaging with money at Varsity, it was very much about education. And I think then by the time that I hit the working place in 2019, and you know, 2020, we had COVID, I was not panicked about, you know, the market collapsing in COVID, because I sort of, I would say, loaded myself with so much education to the point that I fully understood that, you know, we go through these cycles. And I think then by the time I started earning money, it was just so much easier to put, you know, away, you know, the 15% without having to actually open my eyes twice, because I fully understand why I'm doing this. I've played with the calculator. I know where I am going. And so I think for those that perhaps today listening to this conversation do not have the money to get started, you know, not even the 50 rand or 5 rand, you know, to get started, I think load yourself with education, empower yourself, so that when then the money comes, you are then able to, you sort of have an idea, there's a vision, you've been planning everything, and then you can just, you know, go for it.
100%. Thank you so much, Kwezi. I really appreciate it, given you sharing your background and, of course, the fact that it's really simple for all of us. Expose yourself to the necessary information. Be curious. Play with the calculator. Understand what your own goals and objectives are, because the truth is they differ. But the benefit over time is that compound interest. Money babies on money babies on money babies, quite literally. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Kwezi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Kwizi Jackson, 10X Investment Client Relationship Manager there, talking to us about the practical and real world investment trends that we see for individuals in their 20s and 30s. Yep, the youth. But even if you're young at heart and maybe just with a lot more experience in terms of years.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.